as a matter of insurance, but you can never tell with these nervous types. My days of being a target were over if I had anything to say about it. The gun was a pocket model of a recoilless 50 caliber, neat and deadly. The mechanism worked fine, and the cartridges still held all their deadly power, but there would be some difficulty in shooting the thing after I filed off the end of the firing pin. Finding the camera was no shock, since I have very little faith left in the basic wholesomeness of mankind. That I was his benefactor and financier wasn't enough for Wolf. He was lining up some blackmail, just in case. There was plenty of exposed film, no doubt filled with studies of my unconscious face, before and after. I put all the film, including the unexposed rolls, under the X-ray machine for a nice long treatment, and that settled that. Wolf did a good job in the times when he wasn't moaning about the absence of spirituous beverages or nubile females. Bending and shortening my femurs altered my height and walk. Hands, face, skull, ears, all of these were changed permanently to build a new individual. Skillful use of the correct hormones caused a change in the pigment cells, darkening the natural color of my skin and hair, even altering the hair pattern itself. The last thing done, when Wolf's skill was at its peak, was a delicate touch on my vocal cords that deepened and roughened my speech. When it was all finished, Slippery Jim DeGriz was dead, and Hans Schmidt was born. Not a very inspired name, I admit, but it was just designed to cover the period before I shed Wolf and began my important enterprise. "Very good. Very good indeed," I said, looking into the mirror and watching my fingers press a stranger's face. "God, I could use a drink," Wolf gasped behind me, sitting on his already packed bags. He had been hitting the medical alcohol the last few days, until I had spiked it with my favorite regurgitant, and he was nervously anxious to get back to some heavy drinking. "Give me the balance of the money that's due, and let's get out of here." "Patience, doctor," I murmured, and slipped him a packet of bills. He broke the bank wrapper and began to count them with quick, caressing touches of his fingers. "Waste of time doing that," I told him, but he kept right on. "I've taken the liberty of writing 'stolen' on each bill, with ink that will fluoresce when the bank puts it under the ultraviolet." This stopped the counting all right, and drained him white at the same instant. I ought to warn him about the old ticker. That's the way he would pop off if he didn't watch out.
"What do you mean, stolen?" he choked after a bit.
"Well, they were, you know. All of the money I paid you with was stolen." His face went even whiter, and I was sure he would never reach 50, not with circulation like that. "You shouldn't let it worry you. The other stuff was all in old bills. I've passed a lot of it without any trouble.
But why?" he finally squeezed out.
"Sensible question, doctor. I've sent the same amount, in untampered bills, of course, to your old friend Zena. I felt you owed her that much at least, after all she has done for you. Fair is fair, you know." He glared at me while I tossed all the machines, surgical supplies, and such off the cliff. I was careful not to have my back to him when he was too close. Other than this, all the precautions had already been taken. When I glanced up by chance and saw that a covert smile had replaced the earlier expression, I knew it was time to reveal the rest of my arrangements. "An air cab will be here in a few minutes. We'll leave together. I regret to inform you that there won't be enough time after we arrive in Freiberbad for you to seek out Zena and thrash her as planned and get the money back." His guilty start proved that he was really an amateur at this sort of thing. I continued, hoping he would be grateful for this complete revelation of how to do things in an efficient criminal manner. "I've timed everything rather carefully from here on in. Today is a bit unusual in that there are two starships leaving the port within minutes of each other. I've booked a ticket on one for myself. Here is your ticket on the other. I've paid in advance for it, though I don't expect you to thank me." He took the ticket with all the spirited interest of an old maid picking up a dead snake. "The need for speed, if you will pardon the rhyme, is urgent. A few minutes after your ship leaves, an envelope will be delivered to the police describing your part in this operation."